Grant grabbed the binoculars and rested his elbows on the window ledge of the Land Cruiser. He scanned the long shape of the supply ship. It was so dark it was almost a silhouette. As he watched, the ship's running lights came on, brilliant in the dark purple twilight.
"Do you see anything?" Regis said.
"No," Grant said.
"They're low down," Lex said over the radio. "Look low down."
Grant tilted the binoculars down, scanning the hull just above the waterline. The supply ship was broad-beamed with a splash flange that ran the length of the ship, but it was quite dark now, and he could hardly make out details. "No, nothing."
"I can see them," Lex said impatiently. "Near the back. Look near the back."
"How can she see anything in this light?" Malcolm said.
"Kids can see," Grant said. "They've got visual acuity we forgot we ever had." He swung the binoculars toward the stern, moving them slowly, and suddenly he saw the animals. They were playing, darting among the silhouetted stern structures. He could see them only briefly, but even in the fading light he could tell that they were upright animals, about 2 feet tall, standing with stiff, balancing tails.
"You see them now?" Lex said.
"I see them," he said.
"What are they?"
"They're raptors," Grant said. "At least two, maybe more, juveniles."
"Jesus," Ed Regis said. "That boat's going to the mainland."
Malcolm shrugged.
"Don't get excited. Just call the control room and tell them to recall the boat."
Ed Regis reached in and grabbed the radio from the dashboard. They heard hissing static and clicks as he rapidly changed channels.
"There's something wrong with this one," he said. "It's not working."
He ran off to the first Land Cruiser. They saw him duck into it. Then he looked back at them.
"There's something wrong with both the radios," he said. "I can't raise the control room."
"Then let's get going," Grant said. In the control room, Muldoon stood before the big windows that overlooked the park. At 7 o'clock, the quartz floodlights came on all over the island, turning the landscape into a glowing jewel stretching away to the south. This was his favorite moment of the day. He heard the crackle of static from the radios.
"The Land Cruisers have started again," Arnold said. "They're on their way home."
"But why did they stop?" Hammond said. "And why can't we talk to them?"
"I don't know," Arnold said. "Maybe they turned off the radios in the cars."
"Probably the storm," Muldoon said. "Interference from the storm." "They'll be here in 20 minutes, Hammond said. "You better call down and make sure the dining room is ready for them. Those kids are going to be hungry."
Arnold picked up the phone and heard a steady, monotonous hiss.
"What's this? What's going on?"
"Jesus, hang that up," Nedry said. "You'll screw up the data stream."
"You've taken all the phone lines, even the internal ones?"
"I've taken all the lines that communicate outside," Nedry said, "but your internal lines should still work."
Arnold punched console buttons one after another. He heard nothing but hissing on all the lines.
"Looks like you've got them all."
"Sorry about that," Nedry said. "I'll clear a couple for you at the end of the next transmission, in about 15 minutes.
He yawned. "Looks like a long weekend for me. I guess I'll go get that Coke now."
He picked up his shoulder bag and headed for the door.
"Don't touch my console, okay?"
The door closed.
"What a slob," Hammond said. "Yeah," Arnold said, "but I guess he knows what he's doing."
Along the side of the road, clouds of volcanic steam misted rainbows in the bright quartz lights. Grant said into the radio,
"How long does it take the ship to reach the mainland?"
18 hours, Ed Regis said, "more or less.
It's pretty reliable."
He glanced at his watch.
"It should arrive around 11 tomorrow morning."
Grant frowned.
"You still can't talk to the control room?"
"Not so far."
"How about Harding? Can you reach him?"
"No, I've tried. He may have his radio turned off."
Malcolm was shaking his head.
"So we're the only ones who know about the animals on the ship."
"I'm trying to raise somebody," Ed Regis said. "I mean, Christ, we don't want those animals on the mainland."
"How long until we get back to the base?"
"From here, another 16, 17 minutes, Ed Regis said.
At night, the whole road was illuminated by big floodlights. It felt to Grant as if they were driving through a bright green tunnel of leaves. Large raindrops spattered the windshield. Grant felt the Land Cruiser slow, then stop.
"Now what?"
Lex said. "I don't want to stop. Why do we stop?"
And then suddenly, all the floodlights went out,
The road was plunged into darkness. Lex said,
"Hey!"
"Probably just a power outage or something," Ed Regis said. "I'm sure the lights will be on in a minute."